We are in 1 Peter this morning. Let me set the scene. Abuse and persecution were par for the course for many who followed Christ in the first century. It's par for the course in many places today. If you've got a bulletin, the country we are lifting up this morning is Egypt. This week, I hope you do pray for Egypt. It is difficult to be a Christian in Egypt. Oftentimes, they are not given proper medical care in hospitals and clinics, and when they are attacked and kidnapped and harassed, the government authorities rarely come to their defense. It's difficult to express your faith in Egypt. It's difficult in many places in the world. So I hope you would keep our brothers and sisters in Christ of the persecuted church in your daily prayers. It was difficult in the first century to encourage, to comfort these believers. Peter, the rock, wrote this letter near the end of his life. In it, he warns his folks to look out for false teachers and reminds them to live lives that would glorify God. So as we get ready to study the Word of God, please join me in the unison prayer. Let us pray together. Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, and our hearts that they may be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter writes, "And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it, the authority given to you as an elder, over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." May God bless the hearing and understanding of his holy and inspired word. So Peter is talking about the elders. Now, elders don't necessarily mean old. Elders referred to leaders in the church, and the leaders in the church were the people who have been walking with Christ for a long time. So if you've been walking with Christ for a long time, you would qualify to be an elder, someone who's younger. They're not talking specifically about chronological age here either. Someone who has not been walking in the faith for as long a time should pay attention to their elders. Elders were leaders in the church. Peter himself was an elder. He says, "I too am an elder," but he was the pastor. Pastors are elders. He is clear, Peter writes, although elders do have a certain level of authority, they were not to misuse it. They were not to lord it over the people assigned to their care. He was clear that elders were called to serve their congregations and to lead by example. Now, as we are Bible-believing people, this is how Congregationalists structured their churches as well. I mentioned last week the four offices, biblical offices, are pastor, teacher, elder, and deacon. The pastor was also an elder. So the pastor was referred to as a teaching elder, since they did the teaching. The other elder that was common of the day is kind of like our moderator, Mary Simkowitz. She was known as the ruling elder. You had the teaching elder, you had the ruling elder. That's what we had here in 1670. The Reverend John Whiting, our first pastor, was the teaching elder, and a Mr. John White, who came from England on the ship The Lion in 1632 and accompanied Thomas Hooker to Hartford a year later, was ordained as the Second Church of Christ in Hartford, which is our legal name, ruling elder. We set up our church as the Bible tells us to, because we're a Bible-believing people, praise God. Now, Peter's focus on humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Dress yourselves in humility. His focus on humility and service and a belief that we are all children of God is another hallmark of congregationalism. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, "Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." See, there is a sense of egalitarianism in congregationalism, the idea that we are all equal in God's eyes. It's one of the things that attracted me to our tradition. Congregationalists believe that each church should be a gathering of believers joined together under a covenant agreement, and that they had the authority to elect their elders, their leadership, their pastor. They had a voice. That idea was totally different than my growing up Catholic experience. That is not how the Roman Church structures their churches. The congregation doesn't get a say on who their priest is, how long they stay, and whether or not they should be removed. It's just a different system. It works for them. I like following the idea of the power in the pews, that we are all equal in God's eyes. Now, that goes for a number of scriptures. Additionally, as a Bible-believing people, Congregationalists read Galatians 3, verses 26 to 28, and we believed it. Galatians 3 says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Is that egalitarianism there, that we're all one, equal in God's eyes. And this leads me this morning to the story of Lemuel Haines. Lemuel Haines was born in 1753 over in West Hartford. At the age of 21, he joined a militia of Minutemen and went off to fight in the American War for Independence. After his military service, Mr. Haines studied theology with members of a clergy in Connecticut and Massachusetts and received his license to preach in 1780. He then began to supply preach, fill in, when the pulpit was empty for whatever reason, in his home church in Granville, Massachusetts. At the same time as doing this, Lemuel began years of service as a missionary. I guess it's funny. We as missionaries go to Haiti. You know where Mr. Haines went as a missionary? To the New Hampshire Grants, what would soon be known as the Independent Vermont Republic, or eventually the American state of Vermont. So Vermont was a mission field. It was the wilderness into which Lemuel Haines traveled to share the gospel. Finally, Lemuel Haynes was ordained in 1785, and the now Reverend Lemuel Haynes served the Hemlock Congregational Church in Torrington, Connecticut. Why make such a big deal about the Reverend Lemuel Haynes? He was the very first black man ordained in these new United States of America at a congregational church in Torrington, Connecticut. You see, as Galatians 3 said, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And we congregationalists are a Bible-believing people. So the fact that Reverend Haynes' mother was white and his father was black was inconsequential to us. He was obviously a godly man and a brother in Christ, and that's all that mattered. 3 years later, Reverend Haynes left Connecticut because it was a part-time position and accepted a full-time call to the West Parish Church in Rutland, Vermont, and he served the mostly white congregation, the first to do so, for the next 33 years. The Reverend Lemuel Haynes is another example of why I am proud to be a Congregationalist and of our congregational history. As a Bible-believing people, Congregationalists go way back. The Bible tells us that we are all one in Christ Jesus. That means we are all one in Christ Jesus. Bible also says that God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We believe that to be true as well. Always have. Perhaps that's why the Stowe family, the famous Harriet Beecher Stowe, author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, were Congregationalists. And if you haven't been yet to the Harriet Beecher Stowe house here in Hartford, Wright shares the same plot of land with the Mark Twain house, shame on you. It's a great tour, both houses. It's an incredible story. And it's a little feather in our cap because that whole Beecher family, Stowe family, was Congregationalist because they too believed in a Bible-believing people. Congregationalists, schools like Oberlin College in Ohio led the way in social reform, especially women's rights and abolitionism. In 1846, Congregationalists formed the American Missionary Association, who then joined the Congregational Anti-Slavery Zeal with commitments to teaching and to evangelism. And in the post-Civil War years, the Missionary Society, Missionary Association established elementary schools, colleges, and theological seminaries all across the South for newly freed slaves. See, Congregationalists saw that God had called Lemuel Haynes and his race did not matter. In fact, it is fascinating to note, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but the Bible does not talk about race. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but there was only one place in all of Scripture, I'm going to mention it in the next week or so, where there's any reference at all to possibly the color of someone's skin. I think it's a translational choice and not quite accurate, but we'll go over that next time. The point is, there is no mention of race from Genesis to Revelation. Why do you think that was the case? in all of God's word. Maybe because race doesn't matter to God. And if it doesn't matter to God, it should not matter to us. You know who it does matter to? Satan is the one who has taken the different levels of melanin, that which controls our pigment in our skin, different levels of melanin in our body, and he has successfully used it to divide us, to separate us, to drive a wedge between us. First of all, melanin. Let me mention about melanin a little bit. Every human being has melanin. Every human being. In fact, the truth is, there really is no such thing as a white person. This is white. White piece of paper. What color am I? I'm not white. All right? Just the beard. Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Just the beard. I'm not white. No one is white. We all have melanin in our system. We just have different amounts. The more melanin we have, the darker our skin tone. The less, the lighter our skin tone. Satan uses that. Bible tells us Satan's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will use anything he can find to drive a wedge between God's people. I'll tell you what Satan loved. Satan loved slavery. He thought it was the greatest thing ever. And he loved the subsequent 600,000 deaths in the Civil War that followed. Satan rejoiced at the Jim Crow laws that were passed across the South after the war. He rejoiced at the deaths of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and so many other civil rights leaders. He hated it. Satan hated it when Congregationalists ordained the Reverend Lemuel Haynes and saw him faithfully and successfully serve a predominantly white congregation for the next 33 years. He wants to divide us. Satan was listening when Jesus said, any kingdom separated by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart, which President Abraham Lincoln paraphrased when he said, a nation divided against itself cannot stand. Satan loved that, and he knew that. Why is it then, I have to ask, why is it then that the Bible doesn't talk about race, but we can't stop doing so? Why is it that so often when two people disagree about whatever the issue is, it can't be that you just have a theological, a political, or just a disagreement? No, it's because you're black, it's because you're white, it's because you're Hispanic, it's because you're Asian. We throw that in there. I once had someone say that I was culturally insensitive because I was a white boy from Maine. They were completely and totally oblivious to how racist of a comment that was. All white people are culturally insensitive, but genetically? Or is it all people from Maine are culturally insensitive? Or is it because you're rural? Yeah, rural people, they're like hillbillies and rednecks. They don't have the capacity to be understanding and inclusive. every time we look at things through the lens of race, Satan rejoices. There was a great story that happened to us years ago when we lived in Kittery. Renee ran a daycare out of our house for 7 years. And one of the little girls in the daycare, she was my favorite. I'm not supposed to pick favorites, but Olivia was my favorite. She was just a cute little thing. One of Renee's new clients comes walking up, getting out of the car in the driveway. And his name was Daniel. He was a very dark black baby that was adopted by a white woman. And he had the cute little afro. And little Olivia's just mesmerized. And she's looking, and she's pointing. And Renee's thinking, oh, no, what is she going to do? What is she going to say? And Daniel comes in his mother's arms, and she goes, Miss Renee, Miss Renee, Miss Renee, Olivia, Olivia, you can ask me later, Miss Renee, Miss Renee, and she blurts it out. Why isn't he wearing any shoes? That's what Olivia saw. He didn't have shoes on. All the other obvious things were not obvious to her. I want to look through Olivia's eyes. I want all of us to look through Olivia's eyes. Those are God's eyes. He doesn't see race. Neither should we. This month, as you know, I've been going over Congregationalism. We're going to celebrate our 350th anniversary. It is also Black History Month. At the first service, Lauren has been leading our chamber choir in a whole bunch of Negro spirituals to remind us of the rich musical history we have from that time in history. I thought it was also important to tell the story of the Reverend Lemuel Haynes. Now, do we as a nation have more work to do on the issue of race? Sure. Of course we do. But you know what? I'm glad to be a Congregationalist. At least as a Bible-believing people, we begin with knowing there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Let us continue to be an example. Let us be elders in the faith. Let us lead by example and show those coming up behind us what matters and what does not matter when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to all people, all of God's children. Would you stand?